All right, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8, and it's certainly good to be here. Such an honor to be a part of this great ministry, or just to be here when all this great, blessings and salvations and all the great day you just had. I'm just excited that I got to be here. Amen. When God did it. Romans 8, verse 18. I've been hearing all the different accents here. And I came from down in Louisiana where they talk like this. Down in the swamps where they hunt alligator. And I brought my wife home and I tried to introduce her to my parents. And she would say something and they would say to me, "What did she say?" And I would tell her, I would tell them what she said, and they would talk and she'd ask me, "What did they say?" And so old Boudreaux, he was down there and he saw this lady on the side of the road walking in the rain, just a terrible downpour. And he said, "I got to help this poor lady out." So he rolled down his window, "Ma'am, you need some help. I see you lost one of your shoes." She said, "No, I found one." So Boudreaux went out to the woods. He was hunting with his buddy Thibodeau, and they got lost. He said, "I heard on that National Geographic channel, if you get lost in the woods, you fire your weapons 3 times and they'll come and find you." So he fired his weapon 3 times. Nothing happened. He said, "Go ahead, fire it again." Fired it 3 times. Nothing happened. They waited about an hour. "What do we do now?" He said, "Fire it one more time." And he said, "I hope they hurry up and come and get us because I'm running out of arrows." His wife, Miss Boudreaux, went to file a missing persons report at the police station. They said, "Okay, Miss Boudreaux, what does he look like?" "He's tall, dark, and handsome, and he treats me like a queen." And her little sister pulled her across the hall and said, "That's not the Boudreaux I know. He's short, fat, and ugly, and treats you like a tramp." She said, "I know that, but if they can't find the man I'm looking for, Boudreaux can stay lost." See, y'all. So, ladies, don't get any ideas on how to find a new husband. All right, thank you so much for coming back tonight, and appreciate that. I know you didn't come for me, but it made me feel better anyway. Romans 8 and 1 verse 18. "I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, for the great miracles that you've done here today and through the years. We give you all the glory. And thank you for your faithful servants here, the hard work, the labor. Lord, we do ask you, help us to step out of the way tonight. Fill us with your spirit that you might do your work in every heart, meet the needs that we have no idea what they need. Lord, but you do. I pray you'd meet every need, speak to every heart, save lost sinners tonight, and illuminate my mind, loose my stammering tongue that we might, Lord, uplift you and not ourselves. And bless, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. The other day we went to this ball game. The good news is we had good, great tickets. The bad news is, the good news was they were cheap tickets at a baseball game, cheap tickets. But the bad news is nobody could see the players. And so that's why I always bring my radio to the Braves games. If we ever go once in a blue moon, we go, I bring my radio with my headphones, that because when I first started going with my wife's family, they would start cheering and I'd say, "What happened?" And they'd go, "Oh." And so I bring my radio and they ask me, "What happened?" And I tell them, "Oh." But they could not see the players. But the good news is they had their binoculars. And they pulled out their binoculars and made that which was far away near. That which was unclear became clear when they magnified the players, amen, the athletes. And the Bible says to magnify the Lord. Amen. Amen. And it's comparing the sufferings to the crowns, the crosses to the crowns, the sufferings to the glory of the next world. And we have to stop sometimes and see what are we magnifying. Amen. What are we magnifying? If you praise God, you're magnifying Him. Praise magnifies Him. But if we murmur and complain, we are magnifying our problems. Amen. And the devil puts a little toothpick, a little twig on the sidewalk in front of us to try to trip us up. We point our binoculars at that little twig and it becomes a log. And the devil gets us so afraid, he beats us over the head with that fear. Amen. Somebody said fear causes the heart to sink, but faith keeps the heart above water. And the promises of God are our life preservers. Keep your heart above water. Amen. If you stop and evaluate what's going on in your heart, is it fear? Is it fear and worry? That means your heart is sinking into despair. But if it's faith, it'll keep your heart above water. There was an old preacher that died from Georgia last year. He was in his 80s, Brother Biddle. And he was known most of all through his ministry, he was known as quoting. Every time he preached, he quoted volumes of scripture. And somebody asked him one day, how did you ever memorize all these scriptures? And he said one year his church was in trouble and many of the people turned on him, and he was just battle after battle after battle of people fighting against him and turning on him. And he said somebody told him, if you can get your mind wrapped around the Word of God, the promises of God, you'll make it. Amen. And he began to memorize scripture and he made it. Amen. It made him the man that he was. It made him the great man that he was because he wrapped his mind around the promises of God. Amen. And he focused on the promises of God instead of the problems. Amen. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. We'll go through the Bible and some of the places where they magnified the right thing and some they magnified the wrong things. Amen. Over in Exodus 14, as they were exiting Egypt, the children of Israel were exiting Egypt. And all of a sudden, they were encountered. They couldn't go left. They couldn't go right. The Red Sea was before them. The Egyptian army was behind them. And some had their eyes on the enemy, and some had their eyes on the everlasting arms. Amen. Which one are we magnifying, the enemy or the everlasting arms? Tonight, in your mind, God was about to do the greatest miracle of the Old Testament. More references to that miracle than any other miracle in the Old Testament. He was about to magnify himself in the eyes of the world. And he needed an instrument to do it. He still needs an instrument to do it. Amen. A willing instrument to do that. And God was about to magnify himself. And the children of Israel began to murmur, did you bring us out here to kill us? Did you bring us out here? We could have died in Egypt. Why did you bring us out here to kill us? And Moses said, shuttest thou up? No, he said, stand still. Moses magnified God and said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God performed a miracle, parted the sea, dried the ground for them to walk on, and parts of that sea is over a mile deep. If you study the Red Sea, parts of that sea are over a mile deep. It's over a mile deep. God brings his children through places that are seemingly impossible. No way. When the world says no way, God says yes, it is possible. Amen. Amen. The world says you can't do it. The economy's too bad. God says I can make a way. Amen. God is a way maker. He's a miracle worker. And he can get you through that hard spot. If you keep your eyes on him, you'll make it. Amen. You're going to make it. He's a way maker. Are you focused on the everlasting arms? Are you focused on the enemy? Are you focused on the grapes or the giants? Are you focused feasting on the grapes or fearing the giants? Which one are we focused on? They came. It was time to go into the land and take the land of Canaan. And he told Israel to send 12 spies. And 10 brought back a negative report. 2 brought back a positive report. 2 brought back the grapes of Eshcol. Amen. The grapes were so huge that it took 2 men to carry 1 cluster of grapes on a staff between 2 men. And Billy Kelly said they probably took the skins off of those grapes and used them for shower caps. Amen. To cross the Red Sea. But more than that, they were feasting on the grapes. They were telling them with their mouth full, listen, this is what's waiting on us. Milk and honey and grapes. Milk and honey and grapes. And they were excited. They brought back a good report. And 10 brought back a negative report, said there's giants. And we are in their sight as grasshoppers. And in our own sight, we're grasshoppers. And the people made the mistake of focusing on the wrong thing. They focused on the wrong thing. What happened? Fear overtook them. What happened then? Rebellion. They began to sink into depression, into despair, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. Somebody said that's why it's so encouraging, so important that we be encouragers, because a discouraging report caused an entire nation to turn back from doing the will of God. Amen. Which one are we focused on? Are we focused on the grapes or the giants? Amen. God is able. God is able. You know what we need to do sometimes is just sit down and feast on the grapes. How many thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have been saved in this ministry? Amen. And how the devil would like to get you on the problems and the giants that you faced. But you ought to just sit down sometimes and go over those precious memories like some of those you made today. Just feasting on the grapes. Feasting on the grapes and the fruit, the everlasting fruit. Are you focused on the grapes or the giants? Are you focused on the fire or the friend? The three Hebrew children came before the king. He made a decree. We're going to bow. Everybody's going to bow and worship this idol. It was probably a picture or an image of himself, if he was like Hussein. Amen? Yeah. An image of himself. You're going to bow and worship this golden idol. And you find the defiance of the three Hebrew children. They said, "We will not." Jesus himself said to the devil, "It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not bow. Our God will deliver us." And even if he doesn't, we're not bowing. Amen? Amen. Three Hebrew children decided we're going to magnify our God. Amen. And the determination of the king, he heats the fire up 7 times hotter. And he throws them into the fire bound with ropes. And the men, the 7 men, well, it doesn't say 7. It was 7 times hotter. But the men that threw them into the fire, it destroyed them. And sometimes the fires, the tribulation of this life will cause lost people to self-destruct. But the fires of this life, we have the promise that it'll make us purer. Job said, "When he tries me, I shall come forth as gold." And the only thing that they lost were the ropes that bound them. The world says you've got to learn how to play the ropes. Amen? And sometimes God puts us through the fire to burn off the ropes of this world. Amen? They lost the ropes. The king looks in and he sees 4 men walking in the fire. Amen? He said, "Did not we throw 3 men in? And there's 4 up and walking around, and the 4th is like the Son of God." All of a sudden, the king sees the Son of God magnified in the fire. Amen? And they were delivered. The deliverer, you find the deliverer, Jesus, was in that fire with them. The New Testament says in Revelation 1 that his feet were like brass that burned in a fire. He walks through that fire with us. His feet were burned in a fire. And then it says a couple of verses over that his hands hold the 7 stars in his hand. He holds the 7 stars, and that is the pastors. Amen? Not only the pastors, but every one of his children he holds in his hands, so he cannot, you will not burn in the fire. You'll just be purified. Amen. And he will be glorified. They say the goldsmith will keep purifying that gold in the fire. Purifying the gold, getting all the dross out until finally he sees the image of his face in that gold. When he tries me, I shall come forth as gold. I'll be magnifying him, and all of my glory will be gone. All of my glory will be gone, but I'll be glorifying him. When you get right with God, you'll glorify him instead of yourself. Amen. 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 All of our selfishness is gone when we go through the fire. He purifies us. Then you see the decree was changed. The king, instead of the king writes a new decree and says, anybody that speaks a word, any nation, any people, any tongue that speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and his house be made a dunghill. Amen. A brand new decree was written because three little boys decided they were going to glorify the Savior, glorify God, magnify the Savior instead of magnifying themselves. Amen. Are you focused on the fire or the friend that'll go with you through the fire? Are you focused on the lion or the Lord? Paul said at my first answer, all men withstood me and forsook me. Howbeit, the Lord stood with me, and he strengthened me and delivered me out of the mouth of the lion, and he shall deliver me out of every evil work. Amen. He is faithful to deliver you from evil, the Bible says. He is faithful. He will deliver you from evil. And Paul said he was able to take you out of the mouth of the lion. And he's able to strengthen you when that lion, that long-tongued liar, comes against you. Amen. He's able to strengthen you that the preaching might be fully known and deliver you from evil. Are you focused on the storm or the shelter? Somebody said never, and this is what we do over and over, never allow the storm to cause you to run from God. Let your storms cause you to run to God. He's the shelter in the storm. He's the shelter. Spurgeon said, I've learned to kiss the wave that slammed me against the rock of ages. And if we could just realize every storm, every heartache can cause us to run to the shelter and get a little bit more intimate relationship with him, to know him better, to love him more, and to run to that shelter. He is a refuge in the storm. He's a refuge in time of trouble. Amen. Are you focused on the poverty or the provider? Are you focused on the poverty or the provider? He's able. That God took the poorest people on earth, the church at Macedonia, and he poured out his grace on them, and they said, we heard about somebody over here, the people in Israel, they're having trouble. They're in a famine. And the people at Macedonia were so poor, they didn't know what a famine, if a famine hit them, they wouldn't know it. Amen? And they were the poorest people on earth, and God says, watch this. He pours out his grace upon them, and they heard about somebody else, got their mind off of their own poverty, and said, let's send a gift over there to those people. And God began to bless them more and more and more, and they became world-renowned as the greatest, most liberal givers in the New Testament. Why? Because God's not broke. And if we give, the promise is still there. Give, one word, give, and 40 words to describe the blessings. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Amen. Are you focused on the poverty or the provider? He's able. It doesn't matter our circumstance. He is able to provide for us. Amen? He's able. Are you focused on the nasty now and now or the never-ending reward? Paul was on earth maybe serving God for maybe 30 to 40 years of persecution. He's been in heaven for 2,000 years. He looks back with his telescope. He looks back on that little bitty dot in time and says that little cross is nothing compared to this glory. Amen. Are you focused on the nasty now and now or the never-ending reward? Are you focused on a broke-down body or a glorified body that'll never have any pain, any problems? Are you focused on a broke-down shack or a jacked-up mansion? Amen. What about it? Are you focused? Are you focused on that broken heart, that loved one that left you and went to heaven? Are you focused on that family reunion? There's going to be fried chicken there. Amen? Won't have any cholesterol in it. A family reunion. There won't be any flesh in there, so you don't have to worry about your loved ones that you can't stand. Amen? They won't be in the flesh anymore. We'll be able to get along. People always say, well, bless God, how are we going to get along in heaven if we can't get along down here? I'll tell you how. We won't have any flesh. Amen? And are you focused on that family reunion? I can't take a heart that's broken. Make it over again. but I know a man who can.
Amen.
I can't take a soul that's sin sick, wash it whiter than snow, but I know a man who can.
Amen.
Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend.
Amen.
If you think that no one loves you and that your life is out of hand, I know a man who can. Are you focused on him tonight? Where's your telescope? Pointed upward. Pointed upward toward eternity. There's two roads that we're constantly tempted to go down. One, the road that leads to the world. It promises silver and gold, fame and popularity. Amen. But there's that road that leads to heaven. That road that keeps us going after souls, trying to help men. It keeps our focus on eternity. Amen. Because every time you snap your fingers, somebody's going, crossing over. We've got to stay on that right road. We've got to